It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. We have an absolutely, positively enormous show for you this week. I am joined by Gemma Kaneko, nearly as always.
Yes, hello.
Hopefully as always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then also because this show is so big, we decided to go big budget here and fly in our Los Angeles Bureau Chief, Michael Clare. Michael, thank you for joining us in studio this week.
Oh, so happy to be here. It's a technological marvel.
How was the blimp ride?
The blimp ride was great. I can't believe they can go 3,000 miles that quickly.
I know, so it's pretty amazing.
It took only 2 days.
Yeah. Zeppelin technology.
And we have the Zeppelin mooring area on the roof of our building.
It's really just been circling until I can hop back on it. I think I might take it out to Yankee Stadium later tonight. So
That's a good use of our budget.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Very high budget. So, because we have you here, we don't want to waste your time talking about things that are not in your wheelhouse.
Well.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about some maybe jinxes, if that's a possibility. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some facial hair as well. That might end up happening. I don't know if those are maybe in your wheelhouse. If that's like right there,
that's
the pitch you're looking for.
Those are two things that are not only near and dear to my heart, but they are things that, like a Buddhist monk, I have devoted my life to their study and trying to just come to terms with the truth at the core of them both. So I thank you very much, for adding that to the topic this week. I know you had, a few other things you were going to talk about before I was coming in here, major topics, news stories.
We did, but we...
Analysis.
Just threw that all out.
Yeah, I ran into the Cut 4 newsroom and I said, throw out the rundown. We have Michael Clare in studio this week.
Well, that's
we
very
gotta
kind
talk about
you.
The important stuff.
That's very kind
that's exactly
of
what happened.
And then even more importantly, Michael, I do enjoy your presence here, but I have to say more importantly and more especially, we're going to have a short conversation with Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly later in the episode, so do make sure to stay tuned and listen to that. But before we get to all of that, I just want to say the reason why our voices are like this.
There's a reason that I sound like it's pillow talk and cup four today, you guys.
That we were all in attendance at the New York Cosmos, New York City FC match last night, which is very exciting, and that is why most of us are having issues speaking to you today.
We yelled a lot. It was a great time.
There was a lot of screaming.
There was a player named Lucky.
We all fell in love with Lucky.
We
became
Lucky.
Lucky's cheering section, basically.
Obviously, Mix Discarude, one of the most clutch people to play in Yankee Stadium in the last few years.
Ooh, hot take.
Throwing out hot takes over here.
This is the thing, right? Jeter retires. So who has to take up the clutch mantle at Yankee
Stadium? I'm okay with it being Mix
Discarude.
Mix, now, obviously, I know that you're probably listening to this, and if you are, let's talk about how long our hair is.
Yeah, Mix is a very passionate Cut Forecast listener.
Yes.
U.S. men's national team midfielder, number 10, Mix Discarude.
Now, do you think Mix Discarude has a chance of playing shortstop at Yankee home games when NYCFC are
just
in
coming
town?
Off, coming off the bench.
Going to be in the stadium. I assume they sleep there.
In it's like Peter Pan.
I assume there's hammocks hanging in the concourse, and that's why you don't get to open the stadium until a certain time, is they have to put their hammocks away and clean up their portable DVD players that they're watching season 2 of Game of Thrones on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just assume if the Yankees had a day game and then I got to go play NYCFC tonight, hey Mix, you want to play short? I assume that's how baseball works. It's not actually contracts or anything. It's are you free tonight?
Are you around?
Can you play?
That is how it works. It's very political. It's based on sort of who's there and who's your friends. So that's a good catch from you, Mr. Clare. But no, I do think he would be a very good shortstop. But I don't want to waste any more time discussing soccer, the second best sport in America, because we need to talk about the best sport in America, which is baseball. And we need to talk about the most important question that I think our baseball players today are tasked to answer. In years past, it's been, what position are you going to play? What teams do you want to play for? Are you going to go all out for the division? Are you comfortable with the wild card? These are the questions that I think players day in and day out have to ask themselves. But we've recently seen the rise of a more important question, and that is, which facial hairstyle do you want? How do you want to express yourself to the world? And so the question I'm going to pose to the two of you, and I'll I'll throw in my answer as well. I'm a generous guy. Is if you were, in fact, a baseball player, if you played in Major League Baseball, what facial hairstyle would you want? Or in Gemma's case, because I know you are not maybe the most effective beard grower.
It's true.
Which would you style for yourself? So since you obviously are going to have the more interesting answer here, we'll start with you, Gemma.
Well, as you know, I have a theater background, as do both of you, in fact.
Gee, wow.
My stage makeup skills are pretty good, I would say. So I think I could reasonably apply a fake beard, you know, and I think it would look pretty good.
So then what style of fake beard would you apply?
Well, since it would be fake, I feel that I could go through a lot of different hairstyles, maybe even in the same game.
Okay, I like that.
Because we've discussed what my life would be like if I was a closer. I've also said that I would like to be a catcher, but we're just going to assume I'm a regular position player. So I think for every inning, I would like to try to come out with a different facial hairstyle. This would be my goal. And I would like to do it like sort of a retrospective through the ages. So I would want to start with a really intense handlebar mustache, like long handlebar, like maybe a little bit of a beard, but I think probably just the mustache, and like slowly move through time in terms of facial hair. So I'd sadly probably end up with like a soul patch and a goatee.
Sadly,
I am not
alienating a lot of listeners right now.
I do not like the soul patch. I do not like the soul patch. Go all the way or nothing.
Okay, but what about the Chase Utley soul patch? Which, as we know,
is
one of the most
iconic.
Yeah,
we all know Chase Utley can do no wrong, so that's fine. Everyone else,
what about the Scott Spezio soul patch?
I just think that my favorite thing would probably be like around the eighth inning. I would just go really long beard, maybe like dyed at the bottom.
Okay,
like maybe down to like slightly above my belly button.
Okay, like ZZ Top.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I would do around the.
So my question for you though, there are pine tar restrictions. Are there spirit gum restrictions? How much you can use? How high up
on
your face
can be? You know, is that kind of, it's kind of like having pine tar on your helmet, right?
Right.
Is that it's on my head.
But that enables you to, like, you could do the sneaky, scratching my beard.
I'm not pitching, you guys.
But
I'm a position player.
Oh, that's true. If you're playing,
but there's still pine tar, as we know from George Brett. There's still pine tar regulation. I'm just saying it's something that our government probably needs to begin looking into.
Spirit gum restrictions.
That's true. This is not like a commissioner's office deal. This is the American government.
Yeah.
Needs to step in here.
The effect of spirit gum on human performance.
Yes.
that's a very good point.
We could test. This could be very, you know, obviously highly scientific study based on which beard I had, how I performed,
look at that.
And how much I intimidated opposing pitchers with different beard strengths.
Now, the problem with that is if you're doing it inning by inning, we're going
to
have small sample size, you know, what you're wearing in the later innings.
You're
going to go up against flamethrowing relievers, so your late inning beard, is that...
Sure, there's a lot of variables. A lot of noise in that sample.
Maybe I would have to do it over a season, 162 games, in like the fifth inning, just consistently.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you did the same beard every inning, but then that loses a lot of like... the spontaneity of it.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like it, yeah. I think maybe science is not the way to go.
Yeah.
Beards, it's magic.
It's magic and art.
Beards are magic.
Beards are magic.
Well, then, Claire, if beards, in fact, are magic,
yes.
How would you harness your own personal magic
so
on your face?
This is an interesting question. I personally have a terrible beard because I want a good beard, and I kind of just think one morning I'll just wake up and what I want.
It does look a little Satan-y right now.
Yeah, it gets a little...
It gets kind of pointy.
Yeah.
I think you have to just let it grow and be okay with the Satan stage, and so, then it'll move past that.
Well, by working in the LA offices of one person, I don't really need to worry about what it looks like often. I have no mirrors. It's sort of a Beauty and the Beast house situation. I just don't go into the West Wing. The thing is, I've always thought about this question. Growing up, goatees were the baseball look, the Kevin Youkilis style goatee. However, what I learned recently, and it's on a post that you can find on MLB.com's Cut 4, is that around the time that Jay Buhner was making a name for himself, the goatee was actually, he was helping usher in the era of the goatee, and it was not a thing before that. So do I go back to my 1990s baseball roots and grow a goatee? Or do I go back to what I would really love to do and what I've wanted to do forever, and that's grow a Tom Selleck mustache?
No.
Oh, you're stealing mine.
I feel that everyone looks better with a Tom Selleck mustache. Single human being on this planet.
The problem is I can't do it. So what I would do as a baseball player, since we have also talked about how beard ubiquity is getting out of control now, mm-hmm. I would go with the Brady Anderson pointed sideburns that Hanna has right now.
Well,
I think sideburns are a good choice.
Gemma has strong opinions about sideburns.
I do. Well, mostly because I think you guys all need to get cut four burns. Brand this podcast.
It's true.
For the world.
That would help the brand.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing we're concerned with here, it's our brand.
Exactly. So, human beings are
also,
brand.
I just like sideburns. I like the concept of sideburns. I like that they take their name from Ambrose Burnside's.
Yeah.
I find that very amusing. I think it's a good look.
Yeah, well,
good look overall.
Sideburns are great because they give definition to your face. I grow a beard to mostly just hide my face as much as I can, so people see less of the doughy disgustingness that hides underneath it. So if I was to shave, it would look like when you're at a pizza place late at night and someone drops dough on the ground, and they're like, "Well, I can't make a pizza with this." That's my face.
No, Claire, listeners, this is not true.
Claire looks wonderful right now. I would argue that you have a face perfectly suited to be on a podcast.
Well, Gemma did my stage makeup, so.
Yeah,
this is actually
a fake beard.
This is fake beard, fake face.
It's all prosthetic.
A lot of makeup right now.
Yeah.
My facial hair choice you stole was I referred to it more as a Keith Hernandez mustache. I think that's more moving toward. But yeah, that sort of thick, you know, and what would be nice too is that I would not restrict myself. You can't see this right now, but I'm using my fingers as a mustache right now. And what
it's
I would like.
It's kind of like a pointy, it's like octopus.
I would shave it into the shape of an octopus. But, like, I wouldn't be restricted to certain teams. Because if I had the full beard, and then let's say I signed with the Yankees or was traded to the Yankees, I would have to either shave it off or turn it into a national story about how I wasn't shaving it off. And if I, as you said, all human beings are brands.
Yes.
That's a very great point, Claire. That's a very great point, Michael. At that point, then I would be losing my brand, and that would hurt my brand equity. And as a player, that would be just of the utmost concern to me, my brand.
As we discussed in our advice to draft prospects.
Exactly. Yeah.
Brand.
We did. Well,
brand your brand.
That's true. And in that episode, we actually said that taking style seriously is an important.
It's very important.
Yes.
I think so my advice was consider your beard shape, first of all.
Yeah, and so that's like.
Learn how to grow a beard if you can't. I don't know how growing beards work. So
I would go mustache. I also would try to keep it consistent. Right now, usually what I do is I just don't shave until it becomes irritating, and then I shave it all off, which. Probably is not the way that most people do that. It's probably not maybe the most mature way to go about doing that. But that's how I handle things because that's
the way your brand.
That is my brand. Yeah. Is that you never know. One day I'll just come in here clean shaven.
Yeah.
And that'll just be a surprise.
Your brand is mystery. So you're a Hardy Boys novel in action.
Yeah.
That's your new nickname. It's better than the Constant Gardener.
Yeah, just Hardy Boys.
Just Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
Good. I appreciate that one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move into this controversial area of baseball fandom. Everyone seems to have an opinion about this. I have a very strong opinion about this, which I'll share why. I think I've shared why before, but we'll get into it in a little bit. But
I just want to apologize for any personal attacks I might make in the next couple minutes.
I think that's good. Yeah, this is the Cut Forecast, as we've said before, is a very safe space to be free and honest with our opinions and with each other. I think that's what makes us a good team here. And so let's not take it personally.
I feel that our bond has been strengthened in the fires of the East
of
River
soccer.
Derby,
it's
so
true.
It's okay.
It's true.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Last night, Michael Pineda was working on a no-hitter. We were discussing it amongst ourselves. At which point he was no longer working on a no-hitter. We're recording this on Thursday, so this was Wednesday night that he was working on his no-hitter. Is it possible? I'm getting quiet because I don't want to actually do this, but is it possible to jinx a no-hitter? Claire, you went second, so let's start with you.
Short answer, no. Long answer, this is a tough question, and let me tell you why. So, some people, when they're young, believe in this transcendental idea, this this idea that we're all connected on this planet, and that as human beings, we actually can make a difference in the grand scope of the world, despite being infinitesimally small in the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe in this collective unconscious that when we dream, we all see the same symbols. But really, as you learn as you get older, and you see the pain and struggle of life, it's that life is chaos, and that you can barely control what you order for breakfast that morning, much less in the stands saying, that guy's throwing a no-hitter. All of a sudden, he feels this strange sense that one out of 50,000 people, or millions if we want to include the at-home TV watching universe, is just all of a sudden this butterfly effect starring Ashton Kutcher is going to lead to a fastball like hovering over the middle of the plate for the batter to just wallop. I think we all know chaos leads to endless answers. Now, however, I do want to say, when a no-hitter's broken up, every action creates infinite other universes with all possible things happening. True. So in our universe, yes, Pineda didn't throw a no-hitter, but there are other universes where he finished it. There are other universes where he finished it and was coronated as a king or a god.
Okay.
Just every possibility is out there. There's universes where he gave up the no-hitter, but to a different batter on a world that doesn't look anything like ours, where they live underwater and play underwater baseball. I mean, these are the questions that really plague us at night.
I think that's a really interesting take that you have.
Thank you.
The idea of, you're sort of coming at it from the quantum angle as
yes.
well,
mm-hmm.
arguing
yes.
that maybe yes. We don't actually know if he did or didn't throw a no-hitter.
He is Schrodinger's cat
exactly.
on the mound.
So I think that's an interesting take, is that you can't jinx anybody because nothing has ever happened actually in reality.
Yeah. And also, we are living in a computer simulation of reality.
Okay.
That's a strong possibility. And so when you get your MLB at-bat notification saying he's currently throwing a no-hitter, which both means that he has thrown the no-hitter and has not thrown the no-hitter, and that there are thousands of multiverses out there where he has and has not, but all of these multiverses are just binary code. I mean, the questions just pile upon themselves and are staggering.
It's so true. And we, frankly, we don't have really the time to delve into this, into the care.
On our secondary podcast, Cut Forecast Philosophy Edition,
exactly.
we talk to people about
well,
this.
Well, I was going to actually suggest that we maybe author a paper that could show up in Nature or
yes.
something along those lines.
I think that's a great idea.
I think that might be the best way to explore.
Get some peer review.
Explore these themes in the detail that they really deserve. But Gemma, how do you respond to that? I mean, that's a pretty convincing argument.
I mean, I also came into this saying that no, you cannot jinx a no-hitter. Mostly for similar reasons, because one, do you believe in magic? Do you sincerely believe in magic and that your
as the song says, do you believe in magic?
And as we proved just a few minutes ago with our theorem on beards and facial hair is magic. So there's
some degree of magic. All right. But the question is, I definitely agree with you, Michael, on
your points.
That you're that one person, or maybe even hundreds of people, saying no-hitter during a no-hitter could somehow affect performance of a person who can't hear you saying those words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel that also many no-hitters have been discussed while in progress and still become no-hitters.
That's true. And I appreciate both of your points. But unfortunately, you're both wrong. I spent the majority of my life in the household alongside a jinx. My father, I feel comfortable sharing this with you guys. My father, Al, he is a jinx, and I'm a little afraid, to be honest with you, that he may have passed that gene on to me, which is why I'm very sensitive about this topic, is that I don't want to, you know, I feel like, you know, in the Harry Potter world when, you know, you're a wizard, and you don't know it, but you feel different. That's the way I feel, only in a negative way, where I feel as though this might happen at any moment. And so,
did a large bearded man come to you and say, "Your dad's a jinx, Dakota"?
That is similar to what happened. Metaphorically, that's what happened. I'll tell you the full story, which I think I've said before. I was in Tampa Bay, and I think it was 2010. We were at a three-game Red Sox Rays series, and the first. I grew up a Red Sox fan, and the first game we were there, it was like the fourth inning or whatever, and the Red Sox were leading by like a run. My dad looks at me and he goes, "All right, let's bring the broom for the next ones. Like, this is it." And I was like, well, this is the like fourth inning of the first game, so maybe a little too soon to be talking about a sweep, and we're leading by one run. And the bullpen has not been great this year, nor has the pitching staff. So I'm not 100% comfortable in that assessment. Sure enough, they lost that game. They then proceeded to lose the second game. And then in the third game, they started to mount a comeback, which then fell short. And they lost all three games. There was a sweep. It just so happened to be the Rays who swept the Red Sox. And this was the beginning of a long summer of my father, as I would watch Red Sox games, coming into the room, seeing that they were leading by a run in the like fourth or fifth inning, and pronouncing that they had the game on ice and that they were going to win, as he would then go up to sleep and they would blow the lead. And this was just the first of many, many sporting events that over time he said things like, there's no way he's going to miss this field goal. And sure enough, he does. And because I have this intense personal experience with such a strong and potent jinx, I have to believe that yes, it is possible to jinx a no-hitter. As I've seen it done myself, I've seen the work of such a jinx firsthand.
What if, this is a thought question, and just let me know if you're not comfortable answering it.
Yeah, no, please.
What if he's not a jinx, but an opposite psychic? Because it appears that he's right, but he's
things
just
in the mirror image so, of how they should be.
I see
be.
What you're saying.
So he's like, the Red Sox are going to sweep, and then they were swept by the Rays. This person's going to make the field
really
goal. They missed
the field
goal.
He's the psychic like nearly signals a mystic. He's yeah. receiving.
He's a near mystic.
A near mystic. Well played, sir.
No, thank you.
Yes, I think that's. I'm actually printing up the business cards right now as we speak that are going to assign him the title of near mystic. Yeah, no, you can absolutely jinx a no-hitter, and this is why I'm very careful about it.
Well, the real question is do you believe that other people are real or that you have soul psychic control over the universe?
I believe that I have soul psychic control over the universe. That's what I believe.
What if it's this? What if jinxes are real? And I believe there's an episode of Star Trek. I wish Dan Wall was here to correct me on this. Mm-hmm. But I believe there is like some device, and if it comes into contact with its exact opposite, cancels itself out, and like they both just like disappear into the ether. What if we are all jinxing them, but like the first person says no-hitter is unjinxed by the second person who says it. So when a no-hitter is jinxed,
possible.
It's because we reached that, like,
just
did not. Yeah, like,
one side has just a little bit
negative.
More pull than the other.
That to me
yin and yang of jinx.
That seems like a good working theory that we may want to explore in our paper that we're submitting to Nature.
Exactly. I think this is, we're going to ask for a grant, and I'm pretty sure Major League Baseball wants us spending our time on this paper.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it's important knowledge for humanity to have access.
I agree.
Yeah.
We'll do it. We'll present it at Sloan.
Yes.
At the Sloan Analytics Conference.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is like a good first step toward a better understanding of jinxes.
Yeah, they don't want to hear about like StatCast information. They
no.
want to hear about
no.
jinxes. All jinxes.
No, I mean, StatCast is fascinating, but it's nowhere near the level of scientific intellect and rigor of our study of jinxes. But you know what? Not to like cut this conversation too short. Like I said, we need hours to really
years,
delve into
really.
This in to like in a respectful way, frankly, of the issue. But we need to quote the poet Jalen Rose. We need to give the people what they want, and what they want is an interview with Sir Joseph Kelly of the Boston Red Sox. Gemma, earlier this week, you spoke to Mr. Kelly about many issues of life and love, right?
Yeah. In fact, we talked about beards. Because he now plays for the Red Sox, a historically bearded team, recently historically bearded team. Mm-hmm. So we talked about his facial hairstyle, what he would call it, his nicknames. We really just had a great conversation.
That's great.
So here's Joe. Here's
let's have a listen to it.
Here's me and Joe having a chat. Hi, I'm happy to welcome to the Cut Forecast today Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Jim. How are you guys?
Good. How are you today?
Doing excellent. Finally awake, got all my coffee in me now.
Good. I'm glad. It's a very important thing to start your day with.
Always.
Okay, so first question is that we here at Cut 4 are huge fans of yours, and we actually have a nickname for you. We call you Dancin' Joe Kelly because of your amazing on-the-field dance moves that we've seen, warm-up dance moves.
You just call me DJ for short.
Oh, I like that. That's really good. Well, I'm glad you accept our nickname. Do you have any other great nicknames we should know about?
No, kind of just plain. Just my like initials are one, just like JK. And that's pretty much it. I've never really had any great ones.
Would you, if you could nickname yourself, what would you nickname yourself?
That's a tough question. I can't think of anything on top of my head.
I mean, it's hard to give yourself a nickname. Yeah. Generally, you need people to do that for you. But have you ever...
Self-proclaiming yourself nicknames is also kind of dorky.
Yeah, it's definitely a life no-no.
Yeah.
So have you ever given anyone else a nickname?
I have, yeah, multiple times.
What are some of the best ones?
I named one of my best friends with red hair the Ginger Ninja. That's kind of standard, but that's the only one I can think of right now.
That's a pretty good one. Is he particularly, like, sneaky?
No, it just rhymes.
Also good. Also a good reason to give someone a nickname. Right now, you are on a historically bearded baseball team. How are you celebrating this fact? I mean, you have a little facial hair now. What else are you doing to embrace the beards?
Yeah, exactly. So when I got traded over here, it's something that I noticed being on the other side of the clubhouse, obviously, when we played the Red Sox in the World Series. Mm-hmm. And when I got traded over here, I felt like I just had to jump right into the team chemistry and the team bonding of growing a beard. So it's something that I don't have the best, but I try to do what I can with what I got. But yeah, like you said, having a beard is awesome. And partnering with Nimrian Men helps keep, obviously, all of our beards in the clubhouse nice and clean shaven.
So what have you been doing with Nimrian Men to like promote the Red Sox beard?
So we made a video. Obviously, we had some fans go face to face on some fun shaving challenges. Like shaving a balloon the fastest, trying to get their facial hair. You know, guys would come in with full-on beards, and we asked them what facial hair they wanted to look like, any past or current Red Sox players. Just fun stuff like that, and, you know, showing off all of my barber skills using Nivea Men's Sensitive Cooling Line.
That's pretty great. You can check out that video also on Nivea Men's website and also on our website, MLB.com/cut4. Does your facial hair have a name? Is there like a Joe Kelly style?
Yeah, I guess it's more of the Amish look because I don't really grow that thick of a beard.
So if I was going to ask,
Miley and I, we both in the Amish crew.
So if I was going to send someone to you, I would just say like, okay, ask for the Amish.
Yeah, exactly.
And they would know.
Yeah, most likely.
All right, great. However, unlike the Amish, you are pretty into Twitter. And I noticed from your Twitter that you have claimed you would dominate lip sync battle.
Oh, 100%.
What I really want to know is what two songs would you choose?
I'd probably have to go with some 80s song. Not any at the top of my head. One of those, and then probably a Michael Jackson song.
Do you know which Michael Jackson song, and would you dance to it?
Probably Beat It, and I would dance, yeah.
You have to, because your nickname is Dancing Joe Kelly.
Yeah. DJ.
Who would be your stiffest competition, teammate-wise, do you think?
Oh, probably Pablo Sandoval.
Really? I guess that makes sense. He's got some good moves. Does he have a song that he, like, lip syncs to all the time?
No. He likes all the new and hot rap songs that are out, all the mainstream ones.
I would really like to see this competition. I would definitely watch that.
Yeah, it'd be a great one.
Okay, so also something that we know about you is that you are an oracle who can divine the future. And we know this because when you were a kid, you wrote a paper that, you know, you got like 80% of your future correct. And we were really impressed. So we have some questions for you about the future, if you can predict it for us.
Okay,
so you were in the NL for many years. Who do you think is going to win the NLCS this year?
I'd have to say the Cardinals.
That's some good team loyalty.
Yeah, and also, they're in first.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
What about 100 years from now? Who will be the NLS or NLCS champion?
The Cubs.
It's going to take them another century.
Yeah.
I appreciate that optimism. Okay, more future predictions. Which of these movie universes will actually become real? Jurassic Park, Avatar, or Mad Max?
I'd have to say Mad Max.
And how will you survive in the Mad Max universe using your baseball skills?
I think I would just have get every baseball rounded up, and that'd be my weapon, throw it at people.
I think you'd make it. I think you'd live.
Yeah, I'd try.
Okay, what is the next baseball, what do futuristic baseball uniforms look like?
Probably have like some kind of exoskeleton to make you run faster, jump higher, and throw harder.
So would they be hard, like an insect exoskeleton?
Like no, kind of like those little robots. Yeah, kind of.
Oh. So could you fly?
Yeah.
I like this idea of future baseball. And when this becomes true, I'm going to give you all the credit. Okay, so back to facial hair. Goatees were really trendy in the 90s, like soul patches. We had big beards in the early, on trend now. 100 years from now, what will be the most on-trend facial hair?
Probably none.
None?
Yeah.
How will historically bearded teens survive?
They'll just have to shave it off, I guess.
Oh, that's so sad. That makes me so sad, Joe. I'm so sad about it. But despite the fact that there will be no facial hair, I guess everyone will have an Iron Man suit, so that will make up for it. So we like to ask our Cut Forecast guests a series of questions. So I'm going to ask you them, answer however you feel, and say whatever you want. First up is, what is your walk-up song, and why did you pick it?
Right now it is Blackstreet, No Diggity.
Oh, that's so good.
And I picked it because my other walk-up song wasn't working.
would you lip-sync No Diggity on Lip Sync Battle?
Yeah, I could do it.
All right, I'm going to add that to your repertoire. If you were a fan, or this is just a fan question in general, should adult fans bring gloves to baseball games?
Yeah.
Why? Tell me.
Protect all the young kids.
This is a good reason. Next question, very important question. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Why not?
Because it's a hot dog. It's got its own name.
Good logic. I agree. This is also my answer. What are the appropriate toppings for a hot dog?
Ketchup and mustard only.
That's it?
Yeah.
No relish?
No.
All right. What is on your MLB bucket list? You've been playing baseball for a long time, but is there anything that you need to accomplish before the end of your time in baseball?
Yeah, win the World Series.
That's a good bucket list item. All right, which baseball player, any team throughout your career, which baseball player would you like to go on a cross-country road trip with?
Gotta be someone who's funny. I'm not too sure.
You're not picking Shelby Miller here?
I've lived with him for 4 straight years. I want something a little bit funnier.
Oh, wow. No joke. Shelby Miller has no jokes. That's what we just learned. okay, you have to think about it. You have to let me know, and you'd have to let me know who would get to pick the music.
Myself.
Oh, just you. It doesn't matter who it is.
No.
All right, well, what about if you got to pick an athlete from another sport? Which other sport athlete would you like to be BFFs with?
Kobe.
Kobe. All right, would he get to pick the music on your road trip?
He can, yeah.
All right. I like that you didn't even go halfway. You're like, no, he's giving it up. Kobe can pick the music. And which other sport athlete from another sport would you like to see give baseball a shot?
LeBron.
I would also like to see that. How would he do, do you think?
I think pretty well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you had to play another sport, what would it be?
Golf.
And how would you do in it? Would you be like picking up jackets left and right?
No, I'd have to practice a lot more.
Okay, if you had to play something else competitively, if sports did not exist, is there something else that you feel that you could do competitively, some everyday activity?
Shuffleboard.
So you should join a shuffleboard league and start a team with LeBron and Kobe. That's what I think you should do.
If they would join, I would.
All right, we're going to ask them. I mean, obviously we have so many connections, but we're going to ask them to be on the shuffleboard team with you. Okay, well, thank you so much for talking to me. I know that you have a lot more interviews to do today, but something we always ask everyone to do on the Cut Forecast is to come up with a tweet that summarizes the conversation we've had. 140 characters, just about what we talked about. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and ask you to do one. I will do one as an example so you get the idea of what kind of thing we like to do. So for our amazing conversation, I would probably say, go to your barber and ask for the Joe Kelly Amish hashtag Shelby Miller has no jokes.
That's good.
And now it is your turn. You can think about it. You can have emojis.
I will have to think about it.
Okay. You can always tweet it at us if you want to consider it more.
Yeah, I will. Then make sure you guys check out the Clean Start video I did with Nivea Men on the Facebook and Tumblr page, or my Twitter, at Nivea Men USA.
And how can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, that's at Cup of Joseph.
Great Twitter handle. You can follow him at Cup of Joseph. You can follow us at Cut 4. Tweet at us, hashtag CutForecast, and be sure to check out Joe Kelly's Nivea Men video on Tumblr, Facebook, and our Cut 4 page. Thanks so much, Joe.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
So that was it.
Yeah,
we're allowed to call him Dancin' Joe. He likes the nickname.
I'm so glad that he likes being called Dancin'
DJ
Joe.
DJ for short.
DJ Tanner, once he goes into a tanning booth and he can get the full house.
To be honest, though, I do also really like JK. Even though I don't normally like that kind of nickname where it's just like, you know, JK, whatever. Like, JK is good because you can use it really well.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can be like DJ JK. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's a good DJ name.
I know.
Joe.
I feel like we learned a lot about him. I like that he appreciates that he is able to tell the future.
Yes. You know? He has embraced. I mean, we should really have asked him about the no-hitter jinx because
it's true.
He clearly is an oracle of the future.
Well, he can maybe like offer some words of wisdom to my father too, because like, you know,
how to interpret psychic signals correctly.
Yeah.
He clearly has that power.
Zero in.
Yeah. Like they might get along. They might bond. Mm-hmm. My dad's not a great dancer though, so I don't know. I don't know that they necessarily
dancing
have
lessons. All of that from Joe Kelly.
In common though. And then I think maybe the most interesting take that he had was that he wanted to be best friends with Kobe Bryant. Which, I'm Kobe Bryant, right? I respect him as a basketball player. Seems like a very intense person to be friends with. I don't know.
Maybe that's what he needs out of a friendship, though. Very, you know, driven, ambitious.
And that, you make a very good point. The friends I seek out are like, let's just watch like Netflix, like at our own houses, and we'll just text like at the same time.
That sounds like most of my friendships as well. So
yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you could come over and we could watch together, but
Kobe would never let that.
No,
fly.
No. Kobe wants you to come over and watch like Fellini films.
No.
Not talk
while practicing. You can have it on the audio track.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot my free throws. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be, that's just be a little intense. But let me ask you this other question, which I think is an important one that came up in that interview. Of the three, let's assume that the three of us had a lip sync battle.
Mm-hmm.
Who would win?
Not me.
Us?
I would lose.
Well, I was going to say not me, so that would mean Gemma would win?
I'm the default winner. I'm the default winner now because I just haven't offered an opinion.
What would be your lip sync song?
Well, I get two, right?
Yeah.
Shoot, Salt and Pepper would be one.
That's a good one.
Hard to lip sync though, because it's a lot of just like, are you making a SH sound? Are you making a CH sound?
Well, I think that's kind of in the presentation.
It's true.
Too, you know, I'm trying to think of something else that would be like, you know, you have to show off how fast you are. So maybe, well, I feel like I want to stick to my roots, my Detroit roots, and go Eminem.
Nice.
You know? Yeah.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do, I mean, if I was gonna, I want to do something that's fast, but I'm not sure I could keep up with like Rap God, so I might have to do Lose Yourself, which I just is, you know,
it's
encoded in my
song.
DNA.
Yeah.
Or maybe, that's probably what I do.
You could do that well. I think one of the reasons why you would do that well is that I know that you play it on a boombox every day as you walk into the office.
Yes, I just carry it around.
Which I think is like, you know, it's a good way to introduce yourself.
What would
it's
a good brand. What would your songs be?
Claire, why don't you go first?
So, my songs, obviously, I'm starting with That Joke Isn't Funny Anymore by The Smiths. You know, bring people.
That's what people really want out of a lip sync battle.
Bring people down before I bring them up, because then I end with Modern Art by Art Brute. In which case,
man,
it's
I
mostly
used to love Art Brute
sing
so
talking
much.
And yelling.
I like
you
that.
Have to sing.
Well, exactly. So it's mostly just lip syncing, excited yelling.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which allows me to focus more on the performance and on, as Nick Cannon would say, wilding out than on any other part of the song.
Those are good choices.
Well, thank you.
Dakota?
So I would probably start with. I would probably start with Sympathy for the Devil.
Okay.
Will Stubbs.
Okay.
As you know, that
Dad Rock.
I have a Dad Rock
over here
at times.
We invented a Dad Rock band last night called Eagles, etc.
Yeah, we did. It's true. So. And then I think my second would be the radio edit of Gold Digger.
Hey, not bad.
All right.
From Kanye West. Sir Kanye West.
Soon enough to be Sir Kanye West.
Yes. I think that's good. Because if I also were king, then, you know,
yeah.
he would be the first person I would knight.
So Joe Kelly should do this lip sync battle with
Joe Kelly,
us.
Yeah, with us. Yeah. It should be the four of us together.
No cameras.
He would beat all of us. I mean, I feel like hands down, he would beat us all.
Yes, I mean, yes, he would. Yeah.
Well, what do you think they're doing on those like planes as they're flying around the country? They're working
obviously
on their
lip sync battles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that's the number one thing that happens on those planes. But guys, I hate to say it, we're running out of time, and you know what that means. It's time to play America's favorite game show,
Crosswords.
Hosted by Sir Chuck Woolery, who's also a knight. No, America's favorite game show, Sum Up the Cut Forecast in 140 Characters. And we're working on the title. It's a little long.
It's a little long.
Or we may need to workshop that.
It might not even fit in a tweet itself.
But it might not even fit in a tweet. But who wants to sum up this podcast into 140 characters? One tweet that gives you listening at home a real sense of what the meat of this podcast was exactly. Who wants to go first? Gemma, I can tell from your leaning forward and your excitement that you have a
good already tweet. Did one in the Joe
You
Kelly
did already
interview.
Do one, and that's why you're warmed up. So I think it's time to do a second.
Oh, God. Okay. Let's say it's going to be facial hair retrospective. This is going to be a terrible tweet. I need to start over.
No, you got to keep going from
there. No. Okay. Yeah. Facial hair retrospective.
Facial hair retrospective. What a tweet.
I need help.
What a tweet we have there.
I need help.
You know what? That sounded like a tweet that was in the draft that you meant to delete.
I pocket sent it.
Accidentally tweeted it.
It was really bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, unfollowed.
I would also unfollow me if I saw that.
First, we retweet you to shame you. Unfollow.
I delete the tweet. It's just a mystical. It just disappears forever.
All right, Mr. Claire. No, we're cutting you off. You're done.
No, I wouldn't do that, too.
Mr. Claire.
So mine is, would have a link at the end to where you could purchase this book.
Okay.
Chaos and Magic. Predictions on Baseball from the Near Mystic, comma, The Bearded Baseball Fan.
Comma, The Bearded Baseball Fan.
And then it links to the MLB.com shop where you can purchase the 3,000-page tome that's part one of 10.
That we are writing about.
That's true. Well, and as you know, the person who has the best tweet in this discussion actually receives one of those, a copy of that book as part of the parting gifts that we provide
But you have to read it here in studio until you're done. No food or water until you finish.
So true. All right, here is my tweet. Don't watch baseball with watch baseball with noted sports jinx Al Gardner. Period. Choose Dancing Joe and BFF at Kobe Bryant.
That's good.
I think my favorite part of that is you have a short page of notes. It looked like you were reading off of that, despite the fact that that tweet was not on the paper.
No, that was just where I was.
This is why you should let me take notes, because that is the hardest I've failed at the tweet game.
Yeah, you did really poorly.
Yeah. Well, as you know, baseball is a game of failure, and so is this.
I've been in a slump, and I decided to, you know, do that thing that baseball players
you
do to try
me,
to get out of slumps.
Dakota. You jinxed my tweet game. Oh, my God.
If you've seen the horror film,
this is
it
what
follows.
Happened. I believe in jinxes now. And it's all you.
I warned you. I told you that I have the jinx gene. It comes, and there you are.
Oh, man.
Well, let me tell you what. If you have a better tweet that sums up this podcast in 140 characters.
Or if you're Joe Kelly and you owe us a tweet.
Yeah, Joe, you do owe us a tweet. That's true. Please tweet it at us, at Cut4, with the hashtag Cut4Cast. I guarantee you it will be better than Gemini. So with that in mind, do please do that as well. Also tweet us your thoughts on maybe jinxes, if you can jinx a no-hitter, which you can. Or tweet us what facial hairstyle you would like, or which maybe baseball player facial hairstyle you would like to adopt.
Your feelings on spirit gum limits.
Mm-hmm. Anything like that. You know, we'd love to see it.
We want to know.
At Cut4, hashtag Cut4Cast, we'll retweet the things that make us laugh. The other thing you can do is you can go to iTunes and you can subscribe to this podcast. And then every single week we will pop into your iPhone unannounced. The best way people like guests, which is unannounced. And you'll be able to listen to us have a conversation such as this once a week, every week. We will really appreciate that. The other thing we would appreciate is if while you're at iTunes subscribing to this podcast, if you enjoyed it, click on one of those little 5-star buttons there, rate us, write us a little review. If you didn't like us, feel free to let us know in there, in no uncertain terms, what exactly it was you did not like. They went to the soccer game and they all sounded really hoarse, really terrible, so unprofessional. We would love to hear from that, and then we'll read it and we'll read your poor reviews on the podcast. And we'll read your name and address.
Yeah.
Please feel free to read more of this type of content at MLB.com/cut4. And I just want to thank both of you for joining me this week. Michael, specifically you, on your Zeppelin. You came out over here to New York.
Thank you so much.
And you'll be returning to Los Angeles shortly.
Yeah, going up to the roof and hopping back and heading back out.
You got to go right back. But thank you so much for taking the time to make that 2-week journey here in your Zeppelin. Gemma, thanks for coming back and being here, as always.
I'll see you at our desks in 5 minutes.
And thank you so much for listening. And we will talk to you next week.